We're on Daf Tzarihe Yomin Aleph, the Sugya Reish Lakish, page 95a, and I mentioned the number 95 as a to honor my father-in-law Shlita. He has a big round number birthday coming up here, 95. Tzolzayin Gesund, Reb Chaim Ben Bunim Menachem Mendel Alevi, Sach Nachas, and Gesund. Reish Lakish, quoted here on the fifth line down from the top of Tzadi Hei, tells us that in the case of Me'il, the Me'il that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, if there was Dam Chatos that was sprinkled, splashed on this Me'il, and the Me'il was taken outside the Azara, afterwards it became Tame, it contracted Tumah, then we cannot do the normal procedure that we described in the Mishnah of Kriya, of ripping the garment in order to remove its status as Tomei. And this is based on the Pasuk Lo Yikara, which is at the end of Sefer Shmos regarding the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore Reish Lakish comes up with an alternative method of how to get this Me'il back into the Azara, so we mekayim the mitzvah of kibus, and he has pachos mishalosh al shalosh, as we discussed in yesterday's shiur. So we're up to Mosiv Rav Ada bar Ava, which is about seven lines down from the top. He's going to challenge the underlying assumption of Reish Lakish. And this is based on a question and analysis of a Mishnah in Kalim. And the question is whether or not the shear of Tumah with regard to the Me'il is what we call a Beged Ava, which literally means a thick beged, thick material, we'll say. And each chut of this beged is made up of 12 chutim. And it has the shear of sholosh al sholosh etzbos. And this is the premise of Reish Lakish, and we're going to question this premise based on the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah says, Ha'ovin v'harachin ein b'hem mishum sholosh al sholosh. If you have thick clothes or soft clothes, they don't have the din of sholosh al sholosh. In other words, we mentioned that the minimum shear, and that's the presumption here, the premise of Reish Lakish, for a kli is going to be gimel gimel etzbos. And the reason why such a small cloth would qualify as a kli is because it could be used as a patch. If you have a rip in your clothes, you can patch it up with such a small amount. So it has that chashivus. Now, if you have a material, let's say you have a piece from something that's very soft, let's say felt, or something that's very thick, then if it's not fit to be worn as clothing because it's very small, or it cannot be used as a patch because it's very thick, so then what we do in such a case is we use it as is, as a mat, not as a patch, not to wear it as clothing, but you use it as a mat to separate your feet from the ground. And as a result, such a material is not royal kabel tuma unless it has gimel etzbos on gimel etzbos. Let's explain the logic here of Rav Ada bar Ava. He's saying that we have basically two categories of bgadim. We have a beged that's, let's say, right down the middle. It's neither this nor that. What do I mean? It's not too thick and it's not too soft. Such a beged, such a cloth, can be used as a patch. And the minimum size that gives that chashivus is gimel etzbos al gimel etzbos. That's one carry of begodim. However, in the second category of the two extremes, we have either a beged that's very thick, and we'll soon see that the me'il is a paradigm of a begel that's very thick, or you have a begel that's very soft, like felt, as we said before. With regard to that category, mimonafshach, it's not fit for anything. It's not roy l'levisha because it's too small. And it's not roy to be used as a patch because it's either too thick or too soft. And in such a case, the minimum shear for Kabbalah's Tumah becomes not gimel, gimel etzbos, but rather gimel, gimel tfachim, which means it's large enough to be used as a mat to sit on, or as we said, to walk on. And therefore, Rav Ada Bar Ava attacks Reish Lakish because Me'il is Aveh. The reason why Me'il is Aveh is because it's made up of 12 strands. And if the Me'il is Aveh, because each chut is made up of 12 chutim, then the shear of the beged is not going to be Shalosh al Shalosh atzbos, but rather Shalosh al Shalosh tfachim, which is a much larger size. So why then did Reish Lakish, in the case where the Me'il became Tomei, and now we have to get it back into the out of the Azorah, now we have to get back into the Azorah, he said, take it in segments piecemeal, less than 3x3 etzbos. There's no Kabbalah's Tumah in less than 3x3 tfachim. So the bottom line, the conclusion of Rav Ada Bar Ava's Kasha is that we should be mutter to bring the meal back into the Azara in sections that are less than 3 tfachim. 3 tfachim square, that's called Shlosh al Shlosh tfachim. Because anything less than Shlosh al Shlosh tfachim in the case of the Me'il would not be Mekabel Tumah. So therefore there's no Iser in bringing a Me'il Tameh into the Azara. Why does Reish Lakish say Shlosh al Shlosh etzbos? So the Gemara answers, Agav Avien Chashive, that while it's true that a small piece of beged that's very thick and it has the shear of Shalosh Shalosh Atzbos, when it's on its own, so to speak, and it's just a strip of cloth, then it doesn't have any chashivas, it's not Mekabel Tumah, because as we said before, if it's Aveh, you can't use it as a patch, and it's certainly too small to be used as a levush. But here in the case that he is taking in to the Azara an entire beged, or at least a part, a segment of a complete beged, that segment is connected, is mechubar to the logic beged, to the beged itself, and therefore it has chashivus. And it could be makabel tumah even in a segment of sholosh al sholosh. Even though if it wasn't part of a larger beged, that small segment would not be enough, if it's less than Shalosh al Shalosh, would not be enough to constitute a Chshivas for Kabbalah's Tumah. But in the case that's part of a larger Beged, the Chibur to the Beged HaGadol is enough to be Machshavah Beged, even in the case of a Beged Ava. Again, we need the minimum Chashivas of a Shear of Gimel, Gimel Etzbos, that's for sure. But once you have that chashivas, you can tell me, well, it's a beged ava and it doesn't have any function. Well, it's part of a beged gadol, and therefore it does have a function. That's why Reish Lakish establishes that you could be machnis in this me'il tummy into the azar, but only in small segments that are less than shalosh al shalosh. Once it hits shalosh al shalosh, then it has the basic shear of a beged, with an Iser Knisa Lazar of Beged Tomei, despite the fact that it's a Beged Ava, Now the Gemara wants to ask a kasha on the din of our Mishnah. How did the Mishnah say that kibbutz beged in the case of nitas olav dam chatas takes place b'toch hazara v'aboy shiva samemonim? And we're going to see that amongst the shiva samemonim, there's one, at least one samemonim that you're not allowed to bring into the mikdash, into the hazara. Now, kibbutz dam chatas requires shiva samemonim, which means that you have to be mavri the beged b'shiva samemonim. You have to be meshafshesh the beged, a certain scrubbing with these seven samemonim, these seven detergents, if you will. And these are listed in the sugya in Nida with regard to ksamim on daf samach aleph amid beis. And in the case of a kesem on a beged, we have to be bodek the kesem, remove its dam, and we have to clarify whether or not this is dam nida. And in order to do so, the chachamim established that you need to be maver all of shiva samimonim. And the Chachamim knew that the teva, the nature of hasoras kisme damei abeged, that if after they did this process of shiva samemonim, the kesem would still remain in the beged, they knew that this is not dam. This is some sort of a red dye which cannot be removed with shiva samemonim. Now the list of shiva samemonim is rok tofel, May Grisid, May Raglayim, Nosar, Boris, Kimonia, Ashlag. And with regard to this list of Sheva Samimonim, Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav Baravu, Adam Chatas, Umaras Negoim, with regard to kibus of both Dam Chatas and Maras Negoim, that the Torah in Vayikra Yud Gimel requires kibus of a beged if there's a Mara Nega. And you have to clarify whether or not he needs, after Hezger of a week, whether or not the nega was mispashed, it spread out to the part of the boundary of the beged beyond which it originally was stained, or originally had the nega, I should say. And we want to see if the nega remained intact. And after the kibbutz, we're going to burn the beged. Or, if we see, on the other hand, that as a result of this kibbutz, the nega became weaker in its appearance, then they do kriya. And then, again, they're going to do another bedika. Is tzrichim shiva sabamonim. We're going to need the same shiva samimon, the same seven detergents that we use for bedikas beged dam nida. And we're going to see now that one of these seven samimonim is mei raglayim, is urine, visanya. And with regard to bringing something like that into the mikdash, ein machnisim mei raglayim lemikdash. It's not a covet to bring it in. So how do we do kibbutz in the Azorah? This is the paradox. In the case of a beged sheh nitas olav dam chatas, using the shiva samamonim that are absolutely required, because we don't bring urine into the Azorah. That's not covered hamigdash. And now we turn to daf tzadihei. And if you'll answer, dim mivlav lehu bahari shiva samamonim, maybe we're going to say that there's a din here of balua, that you're not bringing urine in as is, but rather it blends, so to speak, it loses its status within the rest of the mixture of the rest of the seven samamonim. Umaver lehu lekulu b'kechad, and when he applies these detergents, he does them simultaneously onto the stain of the blood, and that's why he's allowed to bring it into the azara. Vasnan, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Nida, have Viron, Shalokis Sidron, O Shehevir, Shiv Asam Ki Echad, Loss of a Lo Klu. That when he applies these detergents to the Beged, then he's got to do them one detergent at a time. Whereas if he did them out of sequence, or he did them simultaneously, meaning blended together, Loss of a Lo Klu, he hasn't accomplished anything. In other words, he doesn't accomplish removing the dam from the garment in such a case. So in other words, the Meir HaGlayim is not combined with the other detergents before applying it to the Beged and the Azar, because it's not going to accomplish your goal of removing the dam. So we can't say this Svara called Mivla Lahu, that it's somehow blended in with the other detergents. V'chi teima, now you'll answer, d'mivla lehu b'hadi chad misamimonim. Maybe you'll say it's enough that he blends the urine with one of the detergents. So the Mishnah means that you cannot combine and blend all seven detergents and apply them simultaneously, but two would accomplish the purpose of removing the dam. And therefore, when he brings the urine into the azar, he's bringing it together, blended with one of the other detergents, and that's called Bahadi Chad Misamimonim. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is makpid that two detergents combined, blended, is not enough to accomplish the goal of removing the stain. Vatzorech lechaskes Sholosh Pa'am B'chol Echad V'Echad Tanan, that the Mishnah in Nida requires Shifshuf HaBeged. And as we discussed in the past, the concept of Shifshuf means a scrubbing, a more aggressive kind of scrubbing, and you need to scrub it, the Mishnah says, B'chol Echad V'Echad, with each one of the seven Samamonim. And that has to be done thrice. Therefore, we see clearly that he has to be mavri, applies each samanim, each one of the samanim b'fnei atzmon, onto itself. And again, how does he bring, we're left with the question, how does he bring the Meir HaGlayim into the Mikdash? So the Gemara answers, don't assume that there's blia, that bolua, the Meir HaGlayim is bolua b'sheva samanim, ella Dimivla lahu barok tafel. As we mentioned before, the Mishnah in Masechta Nida has an entire list of different samamonim, one of which is called rok. Rok means saliva. Tafel, which means that it has no taste. And in this case, the havla will not undermine the kibus. So you'll accomplish two things. And the Gemara quotes Reish Lakish, don't Reish Lakish, Rok Tafel Tzarch Shehei Im Kol Echad V'Echad. That in fact, any detergent, and we have to use each one of the seven separately, has to be blended with Rok Tafel. And on the one hand, the Rok Tafel, as a blending, will not undermine the capacity of the this particular samamonim, one of the samamonim, to be mechabes, to remove the blood stain. But on the other hand, it's enough to protect the Kavod HaMikdash, the Kavod HaZara, and allow you to be machnis the Remei Raglayim, and this is enough of havla in the Rok Tafel. And yet you weren't mafsid, you didn't undermine the possibility of achieving your goal of removing the stain. So this is what Reish Lakish is teaching us, that every single one of the samamonim has to be mixed with this Rok Tafel. And the Gemara therefore comes to the conclusion that with regard to the Dam Chatas, if you scrub it three times with each one of the seven samamonim, and each one of the samamonim is mixed with this Rok Tafel, then you'll accomplish your goal of removing the dam chatas. And on the other hand, since the urine is mixed with this saliva, therefore it can be brought into the azara because it's no longer distinct, it's no longer a separate entity brought into the Azara on its own, in and of itself, you'll gain the laundering, the kibus, and at the same time, you're not in any way being pogan, the covet of the Azara. Just for curiosity's sake, what are these seven samonim that we listed before in English? And the translation is as follows. Rok tofel, we said, was tasteless saliva, meaning the saliva of a person before he has tasted anything that day. And then we had megrisim, which are chewed bean paste. Meraglim was urine. Then we have nasar, which is some sort of a mineral. We have koris, which is called soap warped, some sort of an herb. We have kamunya, which is some sort of a substance. We're not sure exactly what it is. We have ashlag, which is found in the crevices of ocean pearls. And basically what we're saying in the conclusion of Agamora is that, let's say, for example, you take urine and you have to mix it with tasteless saliva three times. I mean, as you scrub it three times. Let's say the dam chatos, this stain has to be subbed three times with that mixture. And then it has to be scrubbed three times with a mixture of chewed bean paste together with tasteless saliva or any one of the other samimonim. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Tzadihei Amid Beis. And the Mishnah says the following. We're discussing other details that relate to the mitzvah of Mariku Shtifa. Again, we're not talking about earthenware, which is clay cheres, but rather we're talking about matechos, clay matechos, and you cook the chatos in the kli. And now the Mishnah is addressing this mitzvah of Mariku Shtifa in the Migdash, and which karbanos were cooked inside this kli. We mentioned the chatas. However, the Mishnah says the following. Echad shebishel bo, the echad she'era letocho, roseach, the echad kodshe kodshim, the echad kodshim kalan, to unim riko shtifa, of Shimon Omer kodshim kalan, ain to unim riko shtifa. So there are two parts to this Mishnah. One part to this Mishnah is what creates a blia in the walls of the kli that requires Mariku Shtifa. That's one question. The other question that the Mishnah addresses is which kadshim, once they're cooked in this kli, generate a chiyuv of mitzvah of Mariku Shtifa. So as far as the first question is concerned, We have what's called bishul, and then we have irui, which means that a irui of roskim, which means that boiling hot basar was poured into the kli from another kli, and that's called irui kli rishon. That's enough to generate a blia, and therefore a requirement of Mariku Shtifa. As far as the second issue is concerned, here we have Machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakama says that whether or not it's Kodshe Kodshim, which would include Chatas Asham, etc., or if it's Kodshim Kalim, like Todu Shlomim, whatever was cooked in the Kli generates a Chiyuv of Mariku Shtifa. And Pashtus, we would say that this is a mitzvah d'oraisa. In the case of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says no. There's no requirement of Mariku Shtifa in Todo Shlomim because the requirement is limited to Kodshe Kodshim and doesn't apply to Kodshim Kalim. Now, there are two points that we wanted to add. One comes from the Migdash David, and that is that at the time of Marikas Kli, if you cooked in the Kli a carbon shlomim, according to the Tanakama, then the Zman Achila Shlomim is Shnei Yom V'Layl Echad, which Lechora would mean that the Merika Shtifa would only take place at the end, the termination of the second day, when the Zman Achila passes. However, the Mikdash David wants to suggest another possibility. He's not sure about it, that he should wait until the following morning in the case of Shlomo, Yom HaShlishi, because although the Blia becomes Nosar at the end of the second day, but it's not, Nosar is not Mechayv and Sreifa until the next morning. And we've discussed in the past what's the status of that Nosar, which is Nosar with an Isach and Kareis, but it's not Nosar as far as Sreifa is concerned. Now, a second point that we wanted to make here is that even though Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no din of Merika and Shtifa Kachim Kalim, but nevertheless Rashi says that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that you need Hagol of the Kli. You have to dunk the Kli in boiling hot water before he uses the Kli, because there's a blia within the defanos of the Kli from a carbon that we became Nosar after Zman Achilasa. So when he's going to use the Kli, there's going to be a plate of Iser into the Machal, and this Bashel is going to ask the Machal. Therefore you need Agola. However, if there was a din of Mariku Shtifa, that would go beyond that. He would need Shtifa B'mayim. He couldn't use Yayin, for example. He couldn't even use a mixture of Yayin and Mayim if it was blended together, as the Gemara is going to explain, Adaf Tzadi Vav. So all these restrictions apply to the mitzvah of Merika Shtifa, they do not apply to Hagola. And therefore, in the case of Kachim Kalim, Aliba the Rav Shimon, those restrictions are lifted. All you need is Hagola from Blia. And he can use any mashke, it doesn't have to be water, for Hagola. So that's the Mishnah. The Gemara now wants to clarify, how do we know that even a Kli that was subject to Iri of Roschim, needs Mariku Shtifa? Tan Rabbana, and the Pasuk says in Vayikra Vav, regarding Kalim Shebishal Behem Chatas, it says, Ukli Cheres Asher Tevushal Bo Yishaver, Ainli, I would not know that this mitzvah of Shvira in the case of a Kli Cheres is El Shebishal Bo. Ira L'socho Rosech Minayin. How do we know that if a Tavshil which had Chatos in it was boiling hot and it was poured into this Kli Cheres, how do we know that it requires Shvira? Talmud Lomar, because the Pasuk says, Asher Tevushal Bo Yishaver. And it says bo and yishover. It doesn't say im bekli cheres tevushal yishover. So what's the bo tishover? And this comes to be marbe to a ribui to include, even if there wasn't a bishul in the kli, there was only a blia in the kli. That's enough to generate shvira of the kli. So the bo here is basically saying that it is a blia bow. It's inside the walls of the kli. As far as blia is concerned, there are two ways of generating blia. One could be bishul mamish, and the other could be iri kli rishon. So that even if the Torah doesn't recognize and upgrade iri kli rishon to the status of bishul, and perhaps on Shabbos you wouldn't be chayv d'oraisa for iri kli rishon, but nevertheless, as far as dina blia is concerned. So, for example, if you had a mixture of Iser Veheter with which was accomplished by an Iri Kli Rishon, that could generate a Doraisa of Tam Kiika. But in certain cases, the Torah requires Bishul. For example, Lecha Shabbos, or perhaps in Bishul Vosu B'cholov, it has to be Bishul. And Iri Kli Rishon might not constitute Bishul, qualifies Bishul, but nevertheless, it is enough for Blia, and Blia in turn is enough to generate a mitzvah of Shvira. And the Gemara is applying this mitzvah of Shvira in the case of Kli Cheres to its parallel in the case of Kli Mateches of Mariku Shtifa. Now, the Rishonim bring in the name of Rabbi Nuchayim that it could be that Iri has the status of a cliché. And this is a gigantic machlokas Rishon, very fundamental in Yoridea, where the status of Iri Kli Rishon is that of a Kli Rishon or has the status of a Kli Sheni. Now, if we would assume that Iri as a general rule in Hilchas Bliya, in Yoridea, Nisuv Heta, would be considered like a Kli Sheni, which seems to be Rashi Shita, then we certainly need this Ribui of Bo to tell me that Iri would generate a mitzvah of Shvira. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, is of the opinion that Iri Kli Rishon has the same status as Kli Rishon. And in a sense, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the din of Mriku Shtifa in the case of Iri is more or less a simple application of the laws of Bishul. And we're just simply saying that there are two tsuros bishul as far as Mariko Shtifa. So you could have a tsuros bishul mamish, where there's a fire underneath the pot. You could have a tsuros bishul of Irui Kli Rishon, but that's also bishul, and it generates Mariko Shtifa. According to Rashi, the ribui of Bo is coming to teach us a brand new halacha, that Bliya, even without bishul, is enough to generate Mariko Shtifa. According to Rabbi Tam, we know it's Bishul because Iri Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon, but we don't know if that surah of Bishul is included in the parasha of Shvira, and therefore we need the pasuk Bo. Now it's interesting because when we talk about a Kli Cheres, so the status of a Kli Cheres is that you can't get the Bliya out. So therefore, it would seem to be simple that if the Shvira concept in Kli Cheres is a reflection or result of the Bliya aspect, and therefore I should need a Pasuk Bo to include, to generate Shvira in the case of Irui, because since in Irui there is a Bliya in the Dafanim, the only way of getting that Bliya out is through Shvira. So certainly Shvira should be a requirement even in the case of Irui regarding a Kli Cheres. And this is especially true according to what we said early in Rashi, that even Rav Shimon, who holds that in a case of Kodshim Kalim there's no requirement of Mirika Shtifa, nevertheless you need Hagola. And the reason for that is because there's a Bliya in the Kli, and it becomes Nosar, even if it doesn't require Mirika Shtifa, but it's Kodshim, call it Shlomim, call it Karban Toda, whatever the case might be, of Kodshim Kalim. So you need Hagol to get rid of the Bliya. And in the case of Kli Cheres, to get rid of the Bliya, you would need Shvira. So what's the Habmina here that you wouldn't need Shvira in the case of Kli Cheres through Iri, when we know that Iri Kli Rishon is Boleaz Mavliya? So in the notes here, he quotes the Taras HaKodesh, that the Bliyas Nosar would not be enough to engender a Chiv Shvira. Why? Because basically he can leave the Kli as is. He doesn't have to cook anything in the Kli, but there's a separate mitzvah of Shvira that's mechayev him in Shvira even regardless of the Bliyas Iser. And therefore we need a pasuk to be mechayev us in Shvira in the case of Kli Cheres through Iri Kli Rishon, despite the fact that the Bliya doesn't bother me because he's not going to use the Kli. Boy Rami Bar Chama. Now, with regard to a tanur, an oven that's made of cheres, it's made of earthenware, and he was mevashel, he cooked a carbon inside this tanur. Here, do we need shvira? Because there's no bliya into the defanis of the tanur. It's not like a case of a kli bishul. So boy Rami Bar Chama Tlo Bavir Tanur. Let's say, for example, he has a spit and there's a Basar Chatas that he's doing Tzli in the airspace of the Tanur, but it's suspended in the air. So there's no Bliya in any direct sense into the Defanos, into the walls of the Tanur. And anything that falls from the basar. It doesn't fall on the tanur, it falls directly onto the coals that are heating up this oven. Mahu, do we need shvira in this case? Abishal biluahu de kapid rachmana. In the case of tzli, we're not talking about bishal, and we're not talking about blia, because as we said before, any drops of meat that fall go directly into the gecholim, so there's no blia. O dilma, what's the tzad to say the mikolok, we do need shvira, is perhaps a bishal below bilua, that maybe the Torah is makbid on bishal even without blia. It's not that bishal becomes a method, a means to generate blia, but the bishal in and of itself is enough to generate a shame kli bishal that requires mariko shtifa, or in the case of a kli cheres, it requires shvira. And now it seems that the Gemara is assuming that sli has the same identical status as bishal. Again, in this particular case of the tanur, there's no blia, and therefore you might assume that the Torah would not require shvira in this case, because the Torah is makbid not only on bishul but also on bilua. Or shall we say, no, the Torah is set up the kpeda that if there's bishul, that's enough in and of itself to generate the mitzvah of shvira. So Rava wants to quote a Mishnah, and it's our Mishnah, and bimachria and biposhet the safek of Rabbi Bar Chama. The Gemara is going to reject this proof. The Mishnah says, "Echad she bishul bo v'echad she erod u'socher oseach." So, in other words, whether it's bishul or whether it's irui kli rishon, you still require, in any event, mariku shtifa. So it means that even though the kli was not subjected to bishul of the karbon, but nevertheless, irui, because it's mavliya, is enough to generate a chi of mariku shtifa. And we're going to apply the same logic to a kli cheres as far as the mitzvah of shvir is concerned. So you see that the emphasis of the Torah is on blia. Now, if we flip it around, what about the opposite case where there's bishul without blia, which was the case of the tanur? And Rava thinks we have the following analogy, that just like in the case of Iri Kli Rishon, there's no Bishul, but yet there's Blia, and Blia enough is sufficient in and of itself to generate a Chiyuv of Mariko Shtifa. So too, in the flip case, when you have Bishul without Blia, that should be enough. And the Gemara rejects it. Gemara says, Bilua below Bishul. That's simple, that Blia itself is enough to be Machayev Shvira in the case of a Kli Cheres. We've got to get rid of this Blia. And therefore, a kli rishon is enough to generate the chiv. Lo kami boile, that was never included in my suffix. Ki kami boile, the suffix here of Rami Bar Chama was bishul below blia, mai. So that bishul as a means to blia, that for sure would require shvira. And even if the bilua took place with an iri kli rishon without bishul, that would certainly be enough to require shvira. We got to get rid of the blia. But what about in the flip case where there was no bilua and all you had was bishul? So that remains an outstanding suffix. My, does it need shvira? This case of the tanur, does it not? So the Gemara says, Toshma, I'm going to prove it to you from a statement of Rav Nachman Omar Rabbah in the name of Rabbah Bar Avua. Tanur, the tanur in the Beis HaMikdash, was made of mateches. In other words, it was not made of cheres, because if the oven inside the Beis HaMikdash would be made of cheres, the Gemara understands that it would require shvira, because again, they put the spit, the shipud, inside the tanur, and it pierced through the basar achatos, and we're going to require shvira. Right? If we use a kli cheres, we have no choice. Isal kedaita bishul below bilua, lo kapid. According to that sign, that you need bilua. So who cares about this tanur? Navid shel cheres. What's the problem with using a tanur that's made of earthenware? We're not going to require it to be any sort of hechsher or shvira. because again, it's not any bilua. There's only this shipud that we spoke about, and whatever drops down goes directly into the fire. And apparently, the premise here of Rav Nachman to prove that the tanur, the Beis HaMikdash, was mateches and not klicheres, is that if it would have been klicheres, you need shvira in the tanur. The tanur requires shvira even though there's no bilua, simply because of the tzli, which is considered like bishul. So this would be a clear-cut proof that the Torah is makpid on bishul to generate a chiyuv shvira even without the absence of bilua. So Gemara rejects it. It's true that as far as the tzli is concerned with the shipudim lechatos, we could do that in a tanur shel cheres. And since there's no bilua, therefore there would be no requirement to shvira. However, came unto Ika Shiori Menocho Stafiosa B'tanur. Now we're talking not about tzli in the case of the meat of the chatos, but we're talking about afia in this tanur where we're baking the Shiori Menochos. In other words, after the kmitza, whatever's left is Nechal Kohanim, and it was baked in these ovens. Now, if it's baked in the oven, the Gemara says Ika Bishul Ubilua. Now we're going to bake it in the oven, and there's going to be not just the Maisa Bishul, which means Afia, but there'll also be Bilua. And the reason why there'll be Bilua in this case, Rashi explains, is because the Mincha was Blula B'Shemen. It was soaked in oil. And the oil itself will generate a Bilua in the Tanur. And therefore, Avdinin Shal Mateches, we have no choice, says Rav Nachman, but to make the tanur out of mateches, and then we'll be machshir any bliya inside of it, because if it would have been a tanur of cheres, then we would have to break it apart. Now, the Rambam in Hilchas Maisa Karbonis seems to assume that every mincha was baked even before the kmitza. And if that be the case, it doesn't seem like at that point there was necessarily shemen. Rashi says that we're talking about shemen which was in Shiori Menochos. So that's a difficult point to understand exactly when the shemen was added here. Was it before the tanur and or after the tanur? But in any event, Rashi holds that the shemen in the mincha would be balua into the tanur. And that itself is going to generate a chiyuv shvira and a kli cheres. Now this is problematic according to a different Rambam, not the Rambam that we mentioned before, but the Rambam in Perek Ches Mimaisa Karbonos says that only if you are mavashal a korban chatos, any other korban does not require shvira. But here we're talking about a bli of a mincha, and it generates a chi of shvira. What is going on over here according to the Rambam? That's a pella. Now the Gemara is going to go on and tell us a story to clarify if you could be machshir a tanur by simply turning on the fire to its highest heat level. But before we get to that, I just wanted to add one point. This Rashi about the menochos, that the bliya problem is because they're baked with shemen, we have to add another point over here, that the shemen itself would become nosar as well. So they baked the bread and they pasted the dough to the inner sides of the oven, and it would be scraped off after it's baked, and the mincha was kneaded with a K, and the oil of the mincha would now penetrate into the oven wall during the baking process, and that absorbed oil would become nosa the very next morning. That would necessarily be mechayev the mitzvah of shvira. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash oven, the tanur of the Beis HaMikdash, was made of metal. So you wouldn't have to break it down every time you roasted a chatos in it, or in this case, you baked a korban minchin. And with regard to metal vessels, we have a system of hagola, that purged and rinsed, marika shtifa, but you don't need shvira. Hahu tanura, there's a story of a tanur Di'atchu Bei Tichaya, that was coated with grease. They used animal fat on the inside before baking the bread inside of it. And this is a way of frying the bread. The fat came from the fat tail, which is permitted, just like the meat is permitted. So they did what's called miruach, de marche shuman. Again, this is not, this is what you call meaty or fleshika shuman in the tanur. And then they baked the bread. Now, the shuman, this fatty substance, which is fleshiks, gives a tam into the lechem that was baked inside the oven. And therefore, asra rabba bar ahiloi lemichla lerifta liola. Rabba bar Eloi said that this pas that was baked there cannot be eaten. Even if before they baked the pas, they turned on the fire and they heated up the oven. Now, pashas, you would say that Rabba bar Eloi would say you're not allowed to eat this bread together with milk because the bread has the status of being meaty. Comes along Rabba and he says, afilu b'milcha. Even if he just wants to dip the bread into salt. Again, we're not talking about migdash here, so let's not get confused here. But what he wants to do is he wants to eat the bread in and of itself. So what's the status of fleshika bread? You know, in the case of Chag HaShavuos, we have an issue about milchika bread. What's the status of fleshika bread? So Rava says there's a separate gzera that you're not allowed to eat fleshika bread even without adding milchiks to your bread. You're not making a cheese sandwich. And the reason for this gzera is dilma asi lemichle bekuscha. People might not be able to recognize that this bread was baked in an oven that had, you know, that had shuman, the fleshika shuman that was smeared on the side of the oven. They don't know this is fleshika bread, and they go ahead and they eat it together with cheese, together with milk. So therefore, we don't want fleshika bread; just completely prohibited. That's the Shita of Rabba. And if I remember correctly, this is brought down in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Lamed. So we're talking now about coating the sides of the oven with grease of animal fat. And it becomes fleshik, you can't even eat it in a parva state. It's awesome. Again, because of the blia of the basar of the shuman. So the Gemara asks the following kasha, meisve. We're going to ask a kasha on this psak halacha, this chumra of Rabba. Ein loshin esa isa becholav v'im losh kol hapas kula asura mivnei hergil avera. You're not allowed to do lisha, to knead the dough with milk. And if you went ahead and you did so, the bread is forbidden. It's awesome. Even if you eat it by itself, not with fleshiks. Mipnei hergel avera means because he might come to eat it with fleshiks. And then kayotze bo, a similar situation is ein toshin. We don't do ticha, which means to coat the inside of the oven. Esatanur bi'alya, this is a shuman that comes from the tail, which is mutabachila, because that would make the bread fleshiks. V'im tachsh, if he went and he did so, kol apas kula sura shiyasik esatanur. Which means that this iser applies because he didn't fire up the oven, so to speak. If he had fired up the oven, he would have burnt away the fat. But if he burnt up, so the fact that ad shi'asik atar means that the way to be matir such a bread and remove its status as fleshika bread would be that he fires up the oven. And you see here clearly that even though there's these fats, this grease that was absorbed into the walls of the oven, is kishem shashuma nivlal yidei chom hatanur kachu yotzi behesek. This is a kash on Rabba, because if we go back to Rabba Bar Aili, he had said li'olam. What was the extra word li'olam? It means even if before he bakes the pas, he does hesek hatanu. And it would seem that according to Rabba, the shuman, that's bolua, is not yotze, it doesn't go out of the dofne hatanur, out of the walls of the oven, through the process of heating the oven. Eni yotze mide dofio hatanur liolam, Rashi says. And here we see clearly that, I'm assuming this is a brisa, that if you do the hesek hatanur and you heat up the oven, we call it libun in our language, then that would remove the grease, and therefore the subsequent baking means you have a parva of bread. And the Gemara blibes, it says tufta de Rabba Bar Ilai tufta, and this remains a question that's unanswered to defend the shita of Rabba. And we can be machsha the tanu with hesek. And we're going to see how that impacts on Kederos BePesach in just a minute. But first, let's mention that this pas, that, let's say, according to Rabbo, if he didn't do the Hesek HaTanur, had received, it was Makabal Atam of Basar from the Tanur, the Tanur, this should be a case of Nat Bar Nat, which is Mutar. Why? Because the tam of the grease goes into the tanur, and now from the tanur it goes into the pas. So Tosus on the next Amud says that since the pas is baked in the oven, it becomes also even benosein tam bar no sein tam. And we don't know why. In the name of Rabbeinu Tam, Tosus says that here the chashash is that it's not that the blia within the tanur is going to go into the pas, but that the nosar of the shemen, which is really stuck to the walls of the tanur, that itself would go from the shemen into the pas that he's baking. So it's not nat bar nat. Again, nat bar nat here means the hetera, when you have something that's in and of itself is mutter, and its tam goes into the walls of the kli, and then from the walls of the kli into something else that's mutter, which is basa b'cholav, that's mutter, because it's no same tam bar no same tam. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara does not suggest that Rabba, when he asked it, he was talking about a tanur made of cheres. And in the case of tanur made of cheres, you can't just heat up the tanur and be machshir it, because tanur is ani yotzim v'dei dofio. Somehow, the Gemara knew that not only is the Braisa talking about a case of tanur mateches, which you're allowed, according to the Braisa, to be machshir behesek, somehow even Rabba, when he said his statement, he was also talking about a tanur shel cheres. I'm sorry, shel mateches. The Gemara asks the following kasha: Amale Ravina l'Rav Ashi. Ravina asks Rav Ashi the following question: V'chimi achar di tosiv Rabba Bar Ilah. Now that we came to the conclusion that you can be machshir tanur by doing this libun and heating it up and firing up the oven, is amai amar Rav? Why does Rav say Masechta Pesachim on Daf Lamed? He says Kederos bePesach yishavru, that if you cook during the course of the year in pots, then we have to take these pots for Pesach, because you're cooking chametz during the year, and we have to break them, we have to get rid of them. They have no takana. You can't get rid of the chametz, the tam chametz that's balua inside the walls. Why can't he just do libun? Why can't he just heat it up to the highest level and be mevatel the isa that's balua, and that'll be machshir? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answered to Ravina, Rav Mukile Lahi Bishal Mateches. Rav is going to say that when you had a tanur that we said was smeared with this grease, this fleishiger grease, and you can go ahead and be machshered through a hesek, he's talking about a tanur, the Bryce is talking about a tanur shel mateches. And in truth, hagola would be enough. But in the case of kederos, we're talking about kli cheres. And kli cheres is not subject to hechsher hagola. Why? Because kli cheres eini yotzei b'dei daf yol yolam. Now you can never take out and remove completely the blia that's in the walls of a kli cheres. So that's one answer. Ibai Seba, the Gemara answers a second answer, that the Braisa is telling you that it's effective to do hesek hatanur even in the case of tanur shel cheres. And why is that so? The answer is zeh seko mibifnim v'zeh seko mibachutz. The tanur is heated up by the coals that are inside the tanur, but the kederos of Rav are heated up by a fire that's external, that's outside of the kedera. And in such a case, kederos, you cannot do a hesek that would be machshered. So the Gemara says, why? Navid asok bibifnim. Why can't we just put coals, hot coals, inside the kederos? We'll heat that up from the inside of the kli. And that hesek should be exactly similar to the case of tanur, where we fire up the tanur inside the kli. So why does Rav require shmira? You'll tell me that heseko mibachutz, that you're going to turn on the fire on the outside of the kli, and that's not enough to be machshir the kli, so let's find a way of circumventing that problem. Why not heat up the kli from within? The Gemara answers, chayes alayu demitbere. A person will not do a good job with regard to these kederos by if you tell him to heat them up on the inside. He's going to have compassion, so to speak, on the kli. He's going to be afraid that maybe the kli is going to break up and get ruined. So therefore, the only possibility of hechsher is hesek mibachutz. And this is a basic principle in hechsher kelim, that we don't allow hechsher kelim in a case where we're afraid they won't do a good job because it'll ruin the kli. For example, if you have normal plastics which are soft, you put them into hot, boiling hot water, then he's going to be very afraid. He's not going to do a good job. And therefore, kederos with Pesach Yishavru, because if you're going to tell me that we need a hesek mibachutz, you know, in the case of the tanur, we fire up the tanur on the inside. Here, we're heating up the kli on the outside. And if you're going to tell me, well, let it make the fire from the inside, let's say if he has this kli cheres, because at this point, in the second teretz, the Gemara is not assuming like it did in the first teretz, the tanur was a tanur shel mateches. Even if I grant you the tanur is a tanur shel kli cheres, but there is a hesek mi bifnim. But to do hesek mi bifnim in a kedera, assuming that kedera might just break up, so you have an earthenware pot, you want to purge it by putting hot coals in the inside. So the Gemara is concerned that he might want to save his kli, and he's not going to fire it up because they might break apart and bust. And so to permit, you know, reusing the earthenware pot by firing it up on the inside, is the concern is that it'll destroy the pot. And therefore, he's not going to really subject the pot to the heat that's necessary. And if you're heating up the pot from the outside, that's not sufficient. He doesn't know that that's not sufficient, so he's going to rationalize. He's going to say, well, I'm not going to do the firing up on the inside, like in the case of the tanur, because my kedera is going to just completely disintegrate. So he's going to justify in his mind, I'm going to subject the pot to heat from the outside. So we can't even allow him to be machshir this kli from the outside. Well, that for sure we can't be machshir, because that's not sufficient to get rid of the blia, because it's a kli cheres. But even if you'll tell me maybe the hasaka mibifnim would be sufficient, even in the case of kli cheres, according to this svar in the Gemara, like it is in the case of a tanur shel cheres. But nevertheless, in the case of a kedera, he's going to be afraid to do it, and he's going to, at the end of the day, he's just going to be masik et mibachutz. Hilkach, The Gemara now concludes that since you told me that kol shaseker b'chutz, if the hesek is b'chutz, then you cannot be machshir it. Is high kuchvia a kli that is made of tiles, which is called in Hebrew re'afim? I happen to know someone in Toronto who's in that business. You know, he produces, manufactures re'afim. Is what do? We take bread and we fry it on these re'afim. That's what this kufya is all about. It's a sekir machutzu v'yasir. In other words, the way that you heat up this kufaya is by heating it up from the outside. And in such a case, the hesek is not going to be sufficient. Again, we're assuming this kuvya is greased with some sort of fat, and therefore you cannot take this tile and be machshir it because it's made of cheres. So we're talking about an earthenware utensil. Rashi seems to assume it's like a cylinder, and they would grease the inside and then use it for baking bread. The Gemara is establishing that when you bake with these cylinder-shaped earthenware kelim called kuvia, then the fire was built around the outside of the kli. It wasn't fired up on the inside. So it's not like the case of tanur. And since the firing was done on the outside, then if you're going to be machshir it by firing up this cylinder on the outside, it's not going to remove the fat that was absorbed in the kli. So these tile rings are not like other clay cheres, your classical clay cheres, and you could do a hechsher from the inside because they're not going to be broken by fired up on the inside. So there's no concern that a person would be inhibited to do this hasaka mibifnim. But as far as hasaka mibachutz, that would be prohibited because that's not going to remove the fat that's balua inside. And the reason for that is because when you have a blia that's a result of hasaka mibifnim, the hasaka mibachutz is not enough to remove the blia. And here we're up to Daf Tzadivov, I'm an Aleph. We're going to talk about Kederah Shel Migdash, and Mirtz Hashem, that'll be in the next year.